was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Till each heart with thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I guess we didn't have as much stomp in us as we used to have. Praise the Lord. I got my little Jesus shoes on, so I didn't dare stomp. But praise the Lord. I picked these up while we was in Israel, and I said, that's it. Wear these from now until departure. No, probably that ain't work. Appreciate it again, Brother Patterson. What a blessing again to open our pulpit to his preaching. He's been again a faithful minister for years here. Appreciate it again his ministry to Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I don't have to tell him anything about you folks, because he knows you folks. And that's a blessing again. And Brother Mike, you know, preach. God's laid on your heart. Hallelujah. Appreciate it again. Faithfulness.
Maybe preacher.
Yeah, that's
I notice he's stepping down off this platform a little bit easier than he has in the past. Trust me, I know what that's all about, amen. I get to some churches and they got platforms that are, you know, man, this side you got 5 steps to walk up. They don't have any handrails. I just stand there and look at them, you know. Somebody's always going to give me a hand anymore to get up them steps, I tell you. It's something else. I walked up these steps. I don't know how many times yesterday I'm over my car going, I almost called you, Tracy. You know, but going up and down the steps, I said, you know, preach, so it's our 14 steps. What?
21 step program.
41 step program. And it's 21 up and 21 down. Like to kill me, man. And I don't know how many. I was up and down them things. I was up and down a couple times this morning already. You know? Well, the book of, with me, the book of Jeremiah in chapter 4 this morning. It is good to be back here again, and my wife did tell me to make sure I told you, told all of you folks hi, but she is happy as a lark where she's at, amen. In fact, they started church at 9:30 this morning. My son-in-law, they start school at Sunday school at 9:30, then they do about 10:45, they begin their worship service, then they go until whenever he's done preaching, and depends on how boring he gets. It might be 12:30, 1 o'clock. No, just kidding, amen. He's really a pretty good preacher. He was messing with me while back I was preaching there, and I got a message up on a preach here this week. And in the end of that, he's a literated preacher. Otherwise, everything you know, it sounds like good, but all his sub points alliterated, all his sub points alliterated, and I can't. That's not me. Now, this one here this morning is a little alliterated, but that's only because I'm illiterate and it just happened to come out that way. Amen. So I was preaching a message, and I got to it. And I saw Pastor yesterday. I got to the. I preached the whole thing. And I got like 7 last points that I touched on real quick, you know, and I had 3 O's and 4 C's or 5 C's. I got 3 O's and 5 C's. He said, "Well, you put a D in there, it'd be OCD." That's my son-in-law, amen. But praise the Lord, it's good to be here again. And I want to thank you, Pastor, for the invite. And I always enjoy coming to this church. And thank you for the place to stay, amen. It was pretty warm up the last night until about midnight. Then it cooled off a little bit, amen. I was able to sleep. I was able to sleep for about six hours, that's pretty good for me, amen. And I enjoyed it. But here in the book of Jeremiah, with me in chapter 4, and I'm going to ask if you could stand with me just for a moment, if you're able to. If not, you just remain seated, but if you can, you would. That means you. I'm just kidding, pal. Just kidding. Well, I tell you, I know what that foot thing is like that, man. That's a mess, you know. He's in verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 4. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. If thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. You know, he's talking, Jeremiah talks about that 7-year captivity coming up all the way through this thing. And you come in where he says, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Now, Father, thank you for your precious word. I pray that you'd use this morning to touch our hearts, Father, to speak to us and draw us close to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to begin this morning with this thought of fallow ground. Fallow ground. What is fallow ground? Well, fallow ground is sometimes it's ground that has been plowed, but it's left unseeded. They don't do anything with it. Just plow everything under, you know. Sometimes it's characterized by an inactivity. It could be a field that has been left gone and nothing has been done with it for many years, and then it becomes what they call hard pan. And boy, then it's hard to dig up. It's hard to work with. It's hard to do something. My wife, last year, Pastor, we bought this little place. It was a huge lilac tree, and it had three big trunks on it like this, you know, in three different places. And it probably had maybe about 200 shoots underneath that thing. Some of them were that big around. I mean, this thing had been there for a long time, you know. And she says, I want that out of there. I want to be able to look at that one. I don't want that in there. I don't like it. I just don't want it, you know. And I said, okay. I said, but that would be the last thing that I do. And so, about 3 weeks later, a bad storm came through there. And lady next door says she heard something. She heard a lightning crack, and then lightning hit that stupid thing. I don't know how it missed the pine tree she wants now. I don't know how it missed the walnut tree. I don't want there. I don't know how it missed any of these other things, but it hit that stinking knock part. I had to go out and cut it up, cut it all down, and then I had to pay a guy $500 to come in and dig it all up and bring me some backfill in there, because I sure wasn't going to do that myself. Amen. And so I had all that done, and now she got a nice, beautiful little garden in there. Amen. Because you got all fresh, she didn't even have to dig it up. All she did was cut a couple of furrows with a hoe, and man, she got a beautiful little garden in there, happy as a lark, you know. I tell you what, I'm glad I didn't do the garden. She said, I'm going to do the garden. You want to help us? Nope. I'm not going to be here and enjoy it. I ain't going to help plant, amen. And even if I was there to enjoy it, I wouldn't help plant it, amen. But the Lord is good. But a hard pan, a soil that becomes almost like clay, unbroken ground, a foundation. Sometimes it might say like bedrock. It's spiritually, maybe it's the act of plowing to cover up things in our lives and not deal with things. And then it becomes fallow ground because we're not dealing with those things that we need to confess to God and make right with God. So then it becomes fallow ground in our lives. And what causes fallow ground? What brings a born-again believer who has been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years to develop this foul ground in their life? Well, what happens sometimes is they become indifferent, Pastor. Indifference meaning this, and I don't care attitude. It doesn't really matter anymore. Anybody here been there to a point sometimes in your life in some areas? I just don't care anymore, you know. Well, that's what happens in Christian life sometimes. We just get to the point where they say, I don't care. I'm not going to do anything about it. It's fine. I'm just going to let it go. And I'm just going to continue on. But what causes that? What brings a person to that point of indifference where they get that I don't care attitude? There's got to be something that causes this in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. So as I was looking in the scripture, I came up with just a couple of thoughts. They don't respond to the truth. Number one, they don't respond to the truth of God's word anymore. And they know the truth of the word. I've actually had Christians tell me, I know what the Bible says, but. How many times, preacher, have you ever heard that? I know what the Bible says, but. Or don't tell me what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says, but I'm still going to do what I want to do. But it's so sad. I've heard that over and over and over and over. This they don't respond to the truth of God's word. Look at James in chapter 1 just for a moment in your Bibles. Some of these verses you're very familiar with. In fact, all these verses, if you've been reading your Bible, you're familiar with. Amen. But let's remind ourselves of a few things this morning. James chapter 1, verse 22, where he makes this statement, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Or he sees himself and he doesn't think anything about it. He just continues on with the way he has been. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now, what is our mirror? Our mirror is the very word of God. And so when we hear the word of God, and we hear it preached, and we hear it taught, and we read it, and we study it, and then we continue going on, doing what you've always done, the word reveals something to you. If you're in the word of God, it's going to reveal something to you. I don't care where your heart's at. I don't care how hard your ground is. I don't care how hard pan it becomes. I don't care if you leave it plowed or unplowed. You don't plant. If you read the word of God, this is going to say something to you somewhere in that Bible. If you read enough of it, God's going to say something to you. And what happens is we see it and we turn around and we walk away. It's like that man beholding his natural face in a glass. The natural, I said one time to a kid, back it was a Matt Ferguson's son who's out in college now, and sat at their table having lunch one day a number of years back now when they're preaching a week, and he said to me, "Yes, I know it's going to be hard to, you know, at the rapture, hard to improve on this good looking face right here." And he says, "Brother Mike," I said, "wait a second, have you looked in a mirror lately?" But I walked away forgetting what manner of man I was. Amen. Yeah. So I'm just simply saying, but that's us as believers in Jesus Christ. We see in the Word of God, and we don't do anything with it. And we need to respond to the very truth of the Word of God. We don't respond to it, then we don't receive it. We don't accept what the Word of God says. He says in John chapter 5, verse 38 to 40, "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom ye have sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they that testify me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." He said, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me, but ye have believed not his writings. How shall ye believe my words?" They did not receive the truth. And that's what we do. We don't receive the truth of the Word of God. We know what it says, and we do nothing with it. And we know the Bible says in Scripture, over in the Book of Psalms, it tells us to where we just lost the verse of Psalm 119. Is it verse 10 or 11, preacher? Help me quickly. I lost it. It'll come back later on. Who knows what that verse is? Amen. About memorizing the Word of God.
Had that word in the heart, but
I might not sin against you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Tracy. Knows more than the preachers know in the room. Amen. finally came to us. Amen. But that's it. We're going to hide the Word of God in our heart. And how many of us really hide the Word of God in our heart? When's the last time you memorized a Bible verse? When's the last time you memorized any kind of scripture at all? You know, we could say, but can I tell you what? I can go back into the 60s and still pastor, no matter how hard I try, and I walk into a store and I hear a song from the 50s or the 60s, and I'm singing that thing in my head because I know the words. And if I can hold on to words like that for 60, 70 years, how come I can't hold on to the Word of God? Well, we can, amen. Here's the thing. I used to listen to that music over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I used to listen to all that Johnny Cash stuff and all the rock bands from back in the 60s and the 70s. And I could care less about the Beatles. I don't know one stinking thing they sang. I didn't like them, amen. But I liked everybody else, you know. And I could sing a country song over and over in my mind, still come and come. Well, the reason is because we sang them things so many times and listened to it so many times. If we just simply listen and read the Word of God like that, we could memorize Scripture very easy. It will come. it would call. I would listen to my son, my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law, rather, sing sometimes on the tapes that they've had done, the CDs they've done over the years, and you know, some of the songs. I didn't know very well, but I listened to them over and over and over. Guess what? I know them now. Amen. You don't want to hear me singing because I can't sing them, but I'm just simply, I know them. He said, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. We need to walk by faith. We need to trust him by faith. We need to not have a indifferent attitude so that he that comes to God must be that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them to diligently seek him. Franklin Roosevelt, president, they said that he had a great smile. I don't know. I wasn't around with him, amen. So maybe a pastor might have been, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, I wasn't the... But they say he had a great smile and a great attitude. And he said that the story goes that he got tired of going to all these White House receptions and just saying the same stuff and getting the same response from people all the time, Pastor. So one morning he woke up and he said he decided that at that White House reception tonight when people will come up to him, and he would shake her hand and smile, and he's going to say, I murdered my grandmother this morning. True story. So that's what he started doing that night at the reception. Here's some of the responses he got. And when he said, I murdered my grandmother this morning, people would automatically respond with comments such as, well, how lovely. Just continue your great work. Nobody listened to what he was saying. You know, are we like that sometimes? Sometimes we don't listen to the Word of God. So he says, this continue your good work. So, but then one foreign diplomat came up to him. And he tells the foreign diplomat, he's shaking his hand, and he says, I murdered my grandmother this morning. The foreign diplomat leaned in and got close to his ear and said, I'm sure she deserved it, sir. I tell you, but that's us. We hear the Word of God and we don't hear it. Amen. When's the last time you really heard the Word of God? When's the last time you got into it and really spoke to your heart, and as it's speaking to your heart, you decide, I need to do something with this because it needs to be something different. Not with the world, not with anybody else, but with me. With me. You know, we blame a lot of stuff on the world, saying, well, the world's doing this and the world's doing that. But how about us? Let's look at ourselves. Let's look at ourselves in the mirror and then turn around with that mirror and do something about it as the children of God. Don't become indifferent. But not only do we become indifferent and foul ground, but we become indecisive in foul ground. People become indecisive. Can't make a decision. Reluctance or an inability to make up your mind. Sometimes my wife will say, I want to go out, I'd like to go out to eat today. And I said, okay, where do you want to go? She said, well, you pick. Now, that's dangerous, you know. So, okay, let's go to Olive Garden. No, I don't want to go to Olive Garden. Okay, then let's go, no, I don't want to go to Red Lobster, you know. Well, listen, no, I don't want to go there. So, you know, all right, you tell me now where I want to go so I can tell you where we're going to go. I mean, that's you ever been there?
Yeah.
So I'm making fun of this, but we become indecisive, and we can't make up our own minds sometimes. Well, that's how we are sometimes when it comes to spiritual things in our life. What causes indecisiveness? What brings that about in a born again believer's life after being saved for so many years? This can happen to anybody. Amen. You don't have to be but sometimes we look at young people and say, man, I just wish they would grow. Grow. We say grow up. I just wish Christians would grow. Amen. I wish I would grow like that sometime, brother. Because there's times in my life where I have had fallow ground. Amen. And so as we look at the scripture, what brings this about? What brings back an indecisiveness? Well, they're uncertain. They become double-minded. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in what? All his ways. All his ways. He says, somebody wrote this. And he said, double-minded individual cannot agree with himself. Think about that. Oh, he argues with himself. You ever argue with yourself? Now, we do it. We laugh about that. But sometimes I'll be doing something. So how stupid can you be, Mike? And I'll say, stupider than what you think. That answer myself. My wife, you got to quit doing that, amen. Because if you do something, you know, and the electric, you get shocked or whatever. How many times you ever been shocked with electricity, Pastor?
Yeah.
And I tell myself, well, that was stupid. Well, yeah, you can be stupider too. You can kill yourself, amen. He says, today he is of one mind, tomorrow he's of another. Internally, he debates issues incessantly. Otherwise, he debates things about the Word of God continually within himself. And boy, then he becomes very argumentative with other people. Amen. Never coming to a firm decision. He vacillates. He is vacillating between two different opinions, leaning first in one way and then the other. He will not take a firm stand or declare his allegiance and will not stick to it. Will not stick to it. My wife has always told me, she says, I thank you for your strength. And what she's saying there is, I know you're stubborn, amen. And I am. I'm very stubborn about some things. I just do not give in. There's something, and not because she wants me to give in, but there's just some things, preacher, I just will not give in to. I'm not going to do it. You know, I determined a long time ago, we need some determination in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ, and we're going to do right and stand right and act right and behave right and do things the right way, amen. Because what happens when people don't do that, then they become uncertain, and it creates an uncertainty in other people's lives. So the indecisiveness is because they're not certain, and indecisiveness is because they can't decide. They can't make a decision. And not having reached a decision, they become very uncommitted in their life. And so some people in fallow ground will come to a point where you can't get them to commit to anything. You can't get them to commit to coming to church. You can't get them to commit to staying at the church. You can't get them to commit to reading the Bible. You can't get them to commit to a solemn prayer time continually. You can't get them to commit to, you can't get them to commit to doing anything. And that's sad that a born-again believer can come to that point in his life as a child of God, amen, that they will not do anything for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 8, verse 10 through 12 says this. 2 Corinthians 8, 10 through 12. And herein, I give my advice. Now, I like when Paul says, I give my advice. Can I tell you this? Paul's advice is always led by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Paul never, but when he says, I give my advice, the Holy Spirit's nudging him, you know. Paul's saying, this is what I think. I guess the Holy Spirit's putting it in his mind what he needs to say. Because all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Not just a part of it, but every bit of it. So here I give my advice, for it is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, he's speaking here about giving. And I'm not talking about giving here this morning. I'm going to apply this to you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. But if you're not giving, you ought to be. Amen? I use this passage a lot of times, Pastor, in Faith Promise Mission programs when I'm preaching. So he says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have. For if ye be first willing minded, it is accepted according to the man hath, and not according that he hath not. He said, make up your mind and do what you said you were going to do a year ago. Hey, listen, maybe a year ago, maybe you said, I'm going to read my Bible through in a year. I don't know if you read your Bible through in a year. That's between you and God, amen. But here's the thing, though, preacher, you ought to be reading your Bible every day. Every day, amen. If you get through it in a year, hallelujah. I'm not charging if you haven't. I'm just saying, you need to be, don't get behind. Don't quit because you can't get caught up, amen. Just read your Bible. Get into the Bible. Get into the Word of God. Do what's right as a believer. You say, I made this commitment. I made this commitment 30 years ago. And I never followed through with it. Well, get back on the page with it, amen. Follow through with what you said to the Lord. Follow through with what you prayed about. Follow through with what God spoke to you about as believers in Jesus Christ. E. Stanley Jones states it very graphically. He says, if you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will make up unmade you. Think about that. If you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. Then he goes on. Here it is. He said, here is the place where there must be no dallying around. For any dallying will be the Trojan horse that will get in on the inside and open the gates to the enemy. He can do anything for the man who has made up his mind. But he can do little or nothing for the double-minded man. Well, that's something, isn't it? I don't know about you, but that makes me think. Makes me think about how many times that I limited what the Lord could do in my ministry and my life because I couldn't make up my mind. Well, what else? What else brings fallen ground? You see an indifference, and we see an indifference is going to create an indecisiveness in a person's life, but it also creates inconsistency, and that's sad because we see kids today. And I'm not saying that I've got a son that is not in church like he ought to be, and he's been taught right. Your kids have been taught right, amen. But I'm not saying that if they don't go to church that you weren't right with God, amen. I'm just simply saying sometimes inconsistency in some homes creates an atmosphere of distrust amongst the parents. For instance, my wife and I always had the we both made the decision. So if one of the kids came to her and said, you know, yada 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 yada, can I? She would say, not until I talk to Dad. Amen. And if our kids never tried this one, some of the boys in the children's home did. Uncle Mike said we could do, and she said, let me talk to Uncle Mike. Amen. And then even if I would have said they could do it, I wouldn't do it then. Amen. You're done, man. You blew that one. You know that you shot that thing out of the water. Hallelujah. I'm just simply saying, when there's no inconsistency in parents' lives, it creates an inconsistency at home. By the way, preacher, same with you and me. When there's no inconsistency in our lives in the church, guess what? It creates confusion in the church, and that damages the house of God. Damages the things that makes contradiction. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 13 says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as his people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Now watch what he says. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. An inconsistency. But we need to make sure. By the way, can I say this? I don't know of what you watch on TV. I don't know who you watch on TV. I don't know if you watch some preachers on TV or not. Well, I don't want to watch preachers who I can't agree with, amen. I'm just telling you, you know, unless I'm looking for ammunition. Amen. If I'm looking for ammunition, I might watch them. But I'm not looking for ammunition. I want to hear something that's going to help me, amen. I want to hear something that I can draw off of that's going to strengthen me. Because these guys sometimes are so inconsistent in what they teach and inconsistent in what they believe. All it's going to do in your life is create a confusion. A confusion. They contradict the truth of the very word. In fact, they contradict themselves many times. They're always contradicting themselves. So they're inconsistent. The confusion comes with the ability or the inability to think clearly with intelligence or understanding. So they become confused. And Because of the indecisiveness and the inconsistency and the indifference, it creates confusion in the church, creates confusion in Christians' lives, creates confusion with those people who you witness to day in and day out that you talk to, and they see some inconsistency in your Christian life now, and they say, but you said, how are you going to answer that one? Yeah, here's how your answer to me. You're right, and I'm wrong. You're right. I did say it. And I did not do what I said. Amen? But no, you know what we do? We'll argue. We'll argue. And then all we're doing is creating more confusion. You know what? No wonder people in our world today don't want to get saved. They see such an inconsistency in Christians' lives. It creates such confusion, Pastor, in their way of thinking that why would they want what we have if we can't live what we have? Amen. We need to live Jesus Christ. We say that we're saved. I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. I'm not saying you don't blow it sometimes. I blow on it sometimes. I'm simply saying, but boy, when you do, make sure you get that thing right with God. Get that thing right with them. Amen. It could be the problem which would destroy ministry sometimes. Inconsistency, confusion. I've seen a lot of confusion in in churches. And Brother David and I were talking this morning. That created confusion, Brother, what you were telling me, amen? And out of the church at one time, amen? Stuff like that. It will create confusion. It will destroy a ministry. Proverbs 26, 20 through 22 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out, and where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth, amen? You know what that tells me about some churches? Some churches have a lot of talebearers on them, amen? What's a talebearer? Somebody who goes around talking about things sometimes they know nothing about. They know absolutely nothing about. They don't know the whole story. They don't know the truth. And when they get a hold of a thought, and boy, pretty soon, bang, 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 bang. And it, by the way, I don't think you have any talebearers here, but if you do, put them in their place, amen? And say, that's enough. That's enough. And if they get mad, so be it. Amen. Now he says, coals are to the burning coals. How many of you ever had a coal stove? You used to have a coal stove. And you put coals in on that burning coal, and boy, guess what? It gets hot. Amen. He says, coals are to burning coals, and wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Isn't that true? And they create confusion in the house of God. And we have to make sure that we stop a lot of stuff as believers in Jesus Christ and say, that's it. I'm not gonna be involved in it. And I'm looking out here. I know all of you. I don't think you have anybody here in this church like that. I hope. Amen. I'm just from knowing you. And this church has been very held together. But you might get somebody one day who's like that. Amen. Just beware, and don't let it go. Don't let it go. You deal with it, you know, as a church. Deal with it. You don't have to run to pastor and say, "What are we going to do?" Oh, pastor, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Just deal with it, man. Just tell them that's enough. I learned a long time ago. Just tell people something. We don't have any kids in here, so I'll just say sometimes you just got to tell people shut up. Amen. I'm saying that kindly, amen. So if any kids are watching this on the video here. Yeah, I heard my grandkids tell me one night, I said something about shut up, and they said, you're swearing. I never heard that in my life, amen. I grew up with that term, shut your stinking mouth, amen. A missionary to India one time had a group of ladies in a Bible study. And these ladies were sitting there listening intently, and all of a sudden one lady got up in the middle of his teaching, and she walked out. A little bit later, she comes back in, and she sat there listening. And when it was all over, he walked up to her, and he said to her, he said, can I ask a question? Was there a problem why you got up and you left? And you know, she said, no. I enjoyed what you were saying, but I went out to speak to your driver and ask him if you lived what you were saying. And when he said he sure does, she said, I came back in and couldn't wait to hear the rest of it. That's people. That's people, amen. And that's neighbors. That's right here. Amen. That's over there. That's down there. That's over here. That's over there. Amen. That's on that corner. Amen. You know that corner watches you guys. Amen. Are they going yet? Are they back up and running? Yeah. Too bad. I was hoping they'd stop and make people start coming here. Amen. No, just that's not mean. I don't mean that in a mean way, but it's true. Amen. You know, I'm just simply saying that we need to plow up some fallow ground. And maybe you're thinking some fallow ground right now in your life that I didn't even touch on. Why? Because I don't have to. You know why? Because the same Holy Spirit that spoke to Paul to lead him to write these scriptures, many that we looked at this morning, is the same Holy Spirit that speaks to your heart. So you know where to follow around. You know what needs to be dealt with. You know what needs to be taken care of. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Two questions. Just two simple questions. And I want to ask this, and you know the first question I'm going to ask. I ask it every year the first when I'm done preaching. And I'm probably in this room. I wouldn't have to ask this question, but I would feel remiss if I did not. Are you saved? Are you sure if your life ended that you would be in heaven and your sins had been forgiven you? Is there anybody right now, maybe right now, maybe you slip your hand and say, I'm not sure. Anybody at all? Also, I'll hand go up and say, they're sure. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad. But if you're not sure, I would count it a privilege to pray for you. The second question is this. Mike, there are some places, and I can see it, and I know it. I'm looking in my heart, and I can see some places that are foul ground, or beginning to become foul ground, or could become foul ground. Would you just pray for me, because I don't want that. God bless you. How about God bless you? Amen. Others, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's stand with our feet. Stand our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, I thank you for these who raised their hand, Lord. You know their heart. And God, only you know the need. And Father, I know in my own life, I know where the fallow ground has been, and I know where it's at, Lord. And Father, you deal with me, Father, and I sometimes make a commitment that I haven't stuck with. Dear God, I pray, help me, help us, dear Lord, please, Father, to be committed to you, Lord, and plow up the fallow ground, Father, and then don't just leave it piled up, Father, not just cover things up, but take care of things between you and us, God, and you'd have all the honor and all the glory. And we will give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you slip out and come up to the altar this morning. Take care of that between you and the Lord. Come on. You come. God bless you. Amen. Come on. Just take care of it between you and the Lord. Let God do what he wants to do. You know your heart. Better yet, God knows your heart. Amen. God knows your heart.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way. From all my sin and set me free. Number 57 in our songbook. Let's sing a couple more verses of that. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message. Appreciate again. Good to have time of invitation. And ask that very thing that this song states. Let's sing the second verse, number 57 in our songbook. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. Let's do the last. Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you for being in our revival meeting this morning. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock, and appreciate again. I have a whole week of services this week, every night, 7 o'clock, and so appreciate again for us coming out, appreciate the sacrifice, and praise the Lord, looking for God to do something in each heart, and appreciate your being here today. All hearts and minds clear, and we've got to praise or oh me, or all right. Let's dismiss. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you we can gather in the name of your Son and lift his name up and rejoice in what you did to save us. Pray again, Father, that you'd help us to hunt out fallow ground. Father, you pointed out, and I pray again that we'd be responsive again to break up our fallow ground. Cause again, Father, that we could hear from heaven this week. We'll give you all the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.
Double yesterday. You could call and I couldn't bring that up.